I'm really a very quiet person. I don't do all this talking every day. So the singing and I'm thankful that God's given me a voice, though. Thank God I can use it well. I sing. I don't even claim to be a good singer or whatever, but I want to be a worshiper. And it comes from my heart, and then to proclaim his truth. And I thank God for this honor, and it is a privilege to be able to share God's word with people who want to hear. It's an honor to share it anyway, but especially with people who want to hear God's word. It's a great blessing. I thank God for you. Thank God for your heart. So if you have your Bible, if you believe these words on the screen, would you say them with me as we make our confidence and our declaration in God and his ability to speak to us by his Spirit through his word today? Would you join me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure that many people were glad to hear the new CDC guidelines this week, as it seemed like a little bit of a turning of a corner, so to speak, of the events of the past year, and maybe somewhat a little bit return to normalcy. And as I was thinking about that the other day, I was also reminded that the cyber attack on the pipeline, it was a reminder of how quickly our lives can change. In a moment. Anyone had trouble getting gas? Anyone this week? I got half a tank still, but I tried. I was going to go out just to maybe just see if I could. But anyway, where I went, a couple places, I said, well, I'm okay. I don't have to make any long trips, thank God. So I'll just wait it out. But again, we never know what a day may bring, do we? And just even thinking about, I don't need to go into everything over the past year, certainly. But I wanted to relate it to a very personal experience of just our daily walk. Of you never know, you know, you're thinking, you know, Brittany and a friend go down to Florida to be in a wedding, and now she having to chart to make sure we got to find gas stations along the way. So, not just in the world, but when things seem out of control, I wonder how many people even maybe said that over the past, say, 14 months. The world's just out of control. Everything's just out of control. Well, it's really not, but what do we do when the world seems like it's out of control? How about this? Let's make it more personal. What do we do when our world seems like it's out of control? And that's really the heart of what I'd like to share today from God's word. And I believe there is an account here in Acts chapter 4 that will give us direction. So in Acts chapter 4, I'm just going to read a few verses of this account, but verse 18, I'll start there. Acts chapter 4 and verse 18, the apostles, Peter and John, had been called before the chief rulers, the priests, elders, and so that's who it's referring to in verse 18. It says, so they, the leaders, the religious leaders there, called them, the two brothers, and commanded them not to speak at all nor to teach in the name of Jesus. So they're saying, we forbid you to mention, to teach, to mention this Jesus at all. You're forbidden from doing so. And then we drop down to verse 21, and it says this. So when they had further threatened them, because they had come together and said, let's just threaten them severely. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go. Then we'll pick up in verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions Aren't you glad? Sometimes you go through something in life or you face something, you know, in just in a personal way, and you just want to get to some of your own. You can't relate to everybody out in the world as a Christian, may not be able to relate to everyone on the job or wherever you may be in the classroom, but you want to get back to some believers who pray and believe God. You want to get back to your own spiritual companions. And so it says here, they went back to their own companions and they reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, notice their response, please. They raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. That word Lord is literally sovereign Lord, is how it's translated. Sovereign Lord. Sovereign means the ultimate authority or the ultimate power. So they're saying, look what's happened, but you're the one who's really in control. You're the ultimate authority. You're the ultimate power. Sovereign Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. And then they drop down to verse 27. They said this, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, notice, to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Brothers and sisters, when it seems like our world is out of control, we can give in to fear, we can just be dominated by worry and anxiety, or we can do what these brothers did right here. We can trust God for his purposes to ultimately prevail. And that's the message this morning. Trust God for his purposes. Trust God for his purposes. Not my purpose. I'm not saying it's mean, but not your purpose. Not someone else's. Not some entity, some group, some organization. Ultimately, God will fulfill his purpose. Now, that does not mean, and I want to stress this, everything that we see in this life is God's will. I'm not saying that everything that happens in this world is God's will. I don't believe that. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not slack concerning his promise or his word, but he's very patient. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that means every time a person dies and they draw their last breath in this life and they enter eternity without the Lord, it wasn't God's heart. It wasn't God's will. So in fact, didn't Jesus tell us? He said to pray, your kingdom, in other words, your reign come, and your will be done where? On earth, right here. Now, it is done in heaven, but if God's will was always done here on earth, we wouldn't have to pray for it. So I'm not saying we don't see the world as God originally intended. You want to see what God originally intended? Read the first two chapters. And there was peace, and there was blessing, and there was life, and there was harmony, and there was no sin. That's God's heart, and we're going to go back to that, everyone who is in Christ. But until we get to that day, and that is at God's timing, then let's trust God for his purposes. Now, having said that, again, I want you to know my heart goes out. We see all the calamity. We don't stick our head in the sand and try to deny, well, it's all good. No, it's not all good. I know what people mean when they say that. It's not a put down. But it's not all good in life. And we feel the hurt and we feel painful losses. We don't make light of anyone's suffering, anyone's tragedy or loss. We see evil. We battle the evil within our own heart and temptation, and we see it in the world. I'm just simply saying that even with all of that, God will fulfill his word, and God will accomplish his purposes, and he will do it in his time. Would you just write this verse down? Let me read it to you. It's found in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 11, Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 15 says this. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. At that moment, we will see God's will fully accomplished. And until that day, we're to pray for it, we're to promote it, we're to be obedient and do our part, but let's trust God for his purposes, even while we're in the midst of whatever it may be right now. Still here in Acts, if you turn to the next chapter, Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, and the Bible says this, verse 28, Acts chapter 5, verse 28. Again, the scripture says that the believers were brought back before the religious leaders here, and they said, didn't we strictly command you not to teach in his name? And look, you fill Jerusalem with your teaching, your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Then the scripture says this in that next verse, verse 29. He says, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Would you please just get this in your heart or write it down? I'm accountable to God for my obedience. See, if we really trust God, we'll do what his word tells us to do. Trust is evidenced by obedience. If I don't believe that particular scripture, if I don't believe God for this or for that, I'm not going to do what he says. But if I believe God, I'll do what he says in his word. And I'm not responsible for your obedience or anyone else's. I can't blame anyone. On the day when I give account to God, I will have no blame. I will have no excuses. None of us will. We are accountable for our obedience to God. I'm accountable. You're accountable. So again, we're to do our part. It's not, when I say trust God for his purposes, that's not a negative, defeated attitude of, well, whatever's going to happen will happen. No, we're to be obedient. We're to do what God calls us to do. And then, if I'm going to keep on reading here, the next verse, verse 30, it says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree, and him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And then verse 32, and we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When we are convicted of our sin and drawn to Jesus and we receive him as the Lord of our lives, then God forgives our sin and gives us his Holy Spirit. But that's the first step. But then we're to live it out in our daily lives. So God is with us through whatever we're facing and whatever we're going through in this life. And again, as I was just thinking on this and preparing, meditating on this scripture, this is a powerful truth. To me, this would be enough reason to trust God for his purposes. I'll give you the verse here in just a moment. But if we really would trust God for his purposes in our lives and even in the world, we will have more peace and we'll complain less. Y'all can be quiet. That's all right. I get it. I can relate, believe me. But if we would trust God for his purposes, we will have more peace, which would help us less complaining. Notice what that same chapter says. It says in chapter 5 and verse 40, toward the end of the chapter there, it says when they were let go, agreed with them, when they called for the apostles, and notice what they did. The last time they threatened them, now what did they do? It says they beat them. And when they had beaten them, they commanded them again they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, let's pause right there a second. If that was us, how would we leave? Hey, I get it. Believe me, I could be chief complainer if I let myself. I'm telling you, I can sense it. But notice what they did, verse 41. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. What? They were just beaten. threatened, rejoicing, how in the world, that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ, Jesus as the Messiah. One more scripture I'd like to point you to in Acts chapter 21, and then I'll close with just three reasons to give us a good basis to trust God for his purposes. But Acts chapter 21, we'll just stay right here in the book of Acts, if you turn there with me. This is a practical illustration, I believe, of that truth, that if we trust God, we have more peace, we'll complain less, and just let's see what happened here. This is a real account of people in real life. And in Acts chapter 21, just to give you a little background, one man by the name of Paul became a Christian. He hated Jesus. He tried to persecute Christians. He tried to stamp out Christianity. And when God saved him, he so changed his heart, he took that same passion and zeal and used it for Jesus. And God used him to write several books in the New Testament. But there was a word given, someone told him, hey, if you go to Jerusalem, I just sense God speaking to my heart that you're going to be arrested. There's bad things waiting for you in Jerusalem. And they were pleading with him, hey, brother, you can't go. You can't go. You got to stay here where it's safe. And that's where it picks up in Acts chapter 21. Would you look at this verse, verse 12? Acts chapter 21, verse 12. Now, when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. But notice what Paul said. What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound or arrested, but I'm ready to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, okay, the will of the Lord be done. That's a powerful truth. Let me tell you how powerful that is. They didn't try to control him. He was a grown man. It wasn't their son or daughter that they, you know, as parents, we're responsible to bring our sons and daughters up in the training and instruction of the Lord. They didn't try to control him. They weren't being manipulative. They weren't trying to be his Holy Spirit. Please don't raise your hand, but how many of us have had problems in our relationship for any of those? We have a little conflict because we try to be someone's Holy Spirit. We try to be a little manipulative. We try to be a little controlling, and they just say, you know what? Okay, that's your decision. Now the Lord's will be done. Do you see what I'm saying? It's more peace, not only peace within, it's peace with others. And and they didn't try to be the enforcer. They just simply said, God's will be done. And I can tell you on the occasions when I've done that and just said, you know what, this happened in the world and I don't like it. And I'm praying, but my part is just to be obedient and trust God for his purposes. And I have more peace. Now I can go on and I could complain and I could put energy and I could put effort and I could put time into complaining and all this I don't like and all that's going on and all that's wrong. Or I can take some of that energy and put it into prayer and seek the one who really can do something about it. Trust God for his purposes. Again, not mine, not ours. Trust God for his purposes. Real quick, three, if you want to write them down, just basically three reasons of why we can and why we even should, as Christians, trust God. And I'll close back with Acts 16. Again, we just stay in the book of Acts. If you would turn back there with me, Acts chapter 16. Our part is to be obedient, speak the truth out of love, and then trust God for his purposes. Would you say this after me? Would you say, trust God, for his purposes. If you're around someone, would you look over them with a big smile and say, trust God for his purposes? Amen. Trust God. Why? Number one, trust God's heart. Trust God's heart. And we read a few verses here in Acts chapter 16. But I referred to this earlier. Again, you want to know God's heart in the present world? Look back to Genesis 1 and 2. See what his heart was. And then look to the final two chapters of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22, and see where everyone who is in Christ, if this was God's heart, we'd stay in this mess forever. But it's not. It's not God's heart. He's going to bring a new creation. Everyone who is redeemed, he's not only forgiven our sin, he's given us a new body. We'll never have to deal with this anymore when we get to that day. All the curse will be behind because the reason of the curse will be behind. Jesus conquered sin and death on the cross. And so we're waiting for a day that's coming where we won't have any more aches and pains. Your body's not going to age. You're not going to have any of those kind of trials and sorrows and tears and loss. Thank God. Trust God for his purposes. We've got a bright future coming. Everyone does who's in Christ. So trust God's heart. The Bible says this in Acts 16:27. Acts 16:27. You will see, I'll show you before we're done in these moments. God literally moved heaven and earth to bring someone into his family. Ultimately, he did it at the cross and through the resurrection of Jesus. But notice what happened. We'll pick it up in verse 27. It says that the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing that the prisoners had fled because he was responsible for these prisoners, it was his life for theirs, he was going to commit suicide. The Bible says he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself. Then he goes on, verse 28, but Paul, one of the prisoners, called with a loud voice saying, "Do yourself no harm, we're all here." And when that jailer heard, it says he called for a light. He ran in and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Here's the simple gospel message right here, verse 31. So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Would you say that with me? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You will be rescued and your household or your family. Thank God, the only reason we can be rescued from sin and death is because Jesus suffered and died in judgment for our sins. Thank God he bore the wrath of God against our sin so that we do not have to drink that bitter cup. The Bible says Jesus, remember when he was praying in the Garden of Eden and he was under such stress that his pores were actually bleeding. Sweat and blood was coming out of his body as he was in agony at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he felt the weight of sin coming on him that he would have to bear at the cross. He said, "Father, if there's any way possible, let this cup pass from me." What cup? It's referred to in the Old Testament as the cup of God's wrath. Jesus drank that cup so we didn't have to. There's another cup the Bible mentions. It's called the cup of salvation. And if we take up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord, we do not have to drink the cup of God's wrath. Thank God. Thank God. Trust God for his purposes. Trust his heart. When we're going through those difficult times, just like Jesus showed us when he was here, he moved with compassion. When he saw somebody who was hurt in their body, he was moved with compassion. And religious people got on him because he healed on the Sabbath. And he said, "You're being hypocritical if you get your donkey out of the ditch because it falls on the Sabbath day and you don't want me to heal this person. This person had a back issue for 18 years. Shouldn't she be loosed? This person's got a withered hand. You're gonna condemn someone for doing good on the Sabbath day?" That's God's heart. So we never, if you know the Lord, he's not far away. You're not going through something alone. We can trust God for his purposes, even in those difficult. I'm not making light, please hear me. I'm not making light of anyone's hurt, anyone's loss, anyone's difficulty or trial. I'm simply saying God's heart has not abandoned you. He's with you, and you can trust him. He will see you through every trial. And we can trust him, even when we don't understand. We can trust him when we're hurting, we're upset or angry. We can trust God for his purposes. Trust God for his purposes. That's God's heart. God's heart. Think about this. If you're saved, God orchestrated events. God placed you in people's paths, and God's Holy Spirit drew you to Jesus. That was God working to bring you to Jesus, because God's heart is to change our heart and bring us into his family. Trust God for his purposes. So trust God's heart, and number two, trust God's power. Trust God's heart and trust God's power. Again, right here in Acts chapter 16, two verses, verses 18 and 26. Acts 16, 18. The Bible says, just again, you give you a little background. These apostles had gone out on a mission trip. They wanted to share the good news with people who hadn't heard. They wanted to take the gospel into new territory. And the Bible says that God directed them into this one city. And there was a girl there who had a demon spirit in her. It was a spirit of Python or a spirit of divination. And this demon in this girl gave her the ability to be a fortune teller. And the Bible says that when she saw these two Christian men sharing the gospel, she was following them. And she would say, "These men are servants of the Most High God. These men are servants of the Most High God." Was that true? It was true, but it was not done in a way that honored God. And Paul didn't want Jesus to be associated with some demon, a fortune teller. And so it went on for many days, the Bible says, and Paul had enough. You know how some people say, "I've had up to here." That's really what it says here in this Acts 16 and verse 18. The Bible says this. It says that this did, or this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to that spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. Because God demonstrates his power over evil spirits. So it's not just God's heart that he wants to do something. It's God's ability to do something. He has the goods. He can follow through with what his will is. So it's God's heart and God's power. Not only in the spirit realm, if you look down to verse 26, the Bible says this, because these men were arrested and they were placed into a prison, it says that suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Y'all heard, remember the song, Jailhouse Rock? This was the original version, all right? God reveals his miraculous power over, think about that, over spirits and over even nature, over creation. He doesn't do it for some show. He doesn't do it for our whim. He does it for his purpose and his glory. Yes. And God intervened, and when if suits with God's purpose and agenda, then he can move heaven and earth to accomplish his will. That's what I'm saying. Let's trust God for his purposes. He has the heart and he has the power. He has the ability. As I was thinking about this, in fact, I wanted to read you this. I'll come back. I got so much on my mind I want to share with you. God has given us a free will. And he allows us limited, would you say limited? Limited? He allows us limited freedoms. How many of you have ever flown on a commercial airline? Would you, let me see your hands. Many of us here. Okay, thank you. And especially maybe if it was done, you know, in some time back. Well, in fact, I'll just ask. Has anyone here ever requested a particular seat? Or maybe a certain area, like maybe window or aisle, or maybe you needed that little gap there, could stretch your legs out. Has anyone ever requested that? But you, let me see your, wow, okay, a good number of us, thank you. How many of you were offered a snack? You had your choice of three peanuts and a little, or no. You had, you know, some little choice. Any of you, you had that? All right, how about something to drink? You had water or juice or whatever, all right. You were allowed limited freedom. But were you directing the plane? God has allowed us. He gave us free will. Yes, he will hold us accountable. But we're not running this show. We are not directing creation's course. God is directing creation's course. God is right. That's why I'm saying it's not just in our personal lives, in the world. We don't see all of God's will done right now, but it will be. And we can trust God's purpose until we see it manifest in time. God is directing. Brothers and sisters, God overrules the rebellion of mankind and the ill effects of sin to accomplish his ultimate purpose. And we can trust him. Trust God's heart. Trust God's power. And then, if we trust him, we'll have enough peace to give him praise. So trust God's heart, trust God's power, trust God and praise him. Would you say that with me? Trust God's heart, trust God's power, trust God and praise him. That's what I mean by trusting God for his purpose. Trust God for his purposes. Notice what the scripture says here. Acts 16:22. Acts chapter 16 and verse 22. The Bible says this. When Paul cast that demon out of that girl, her owner, she was a slave girl. She was owned. And the owner saw that they weren't going to make money on her anymore. So they rose up and instilled a mob against them. And they went to the leaders, the magistrates. And the Bible says in verse 22 that the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates, the authorities, tore off their clothes, command them to be beaten, this time with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them and threw them into prison, commanded the jailer to keep them securely, having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison. The inner prison was a place for dangerous criminals or those who were considered like lower caste of society. And he fastened their feet in stocks. How many of you know what stocks are? All right. This was not probably what you've seen in the old westerns, where there was like wood with a big hole. What they did at that time was they had metal bars out with gaps in between them, and they would place your legs between the gaps in those metal bars. Then they would put a metal pole on top of your ankles and crank down on it. So not only were you confined, you were tormented. You see what I'm saying? You couldn't move, couldn't roll over and get comfortable. No, it was hurting you the whole time. That's where these two men were. And the Bible says this in verse 25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and they weren't shy, and the prisoners were listening to them. Brothers and sisters, we know they weren't praying to God, and they weren't praising God because everything was going their way. They weren't praising God for their circumstances. They were praying to God, and they were praising God, praising him, because they knew God was greater than their circumstances. And even those painful conditions and even the hurt that suffered and abuse that they had endured could not shut them up. God is going to have a praying and praising people somewhere, somehow, some way. It's just a matter of who it will be. But God will give grace if we will just believe him and say, God, I'm going to trust your purposes. They were wrong. They were wrong. They hurt us and they meant evil against us. But God, because I trust your purposes, I'm going to pray to you and I'm going to praise you and I'm going to just believe that you're going to work it all out somehow, some way, and your purpose will prevail. But if we have that heart and attitude, again, it doesn't make it easy. I'm not making light of anyone's situation. I'm simply saying, even regardless of that situation, God is still God and we can praise him. Notice they praised him before the earthquake. It's easy to praise him when the answer comes. Easy to praise him when we're free and everything's going our way. How about let's praise him in faith beforehand and trust God for his purposes to prevail? Not just in the world, but in me, in us. Trust God's heart. Trust him. I'll close with this. Romans chapter 8. Sometimes I am reminded, this is not heaven. And life can be hard for a season. And sometimes when you're in that season, it may feel like it's forever. You may have heard these words before, but it too shall come to pass. It too shall come to pass. Again, hard, yes. Can people be mean? Please. But God is good. That's the key. God is good. And we can trust Him because the Bible says in Romans 8:31 and 32, it says that who can really bring a charge against God's elect? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Think about that. If He sacrificed His Son so that we could be forgiven and be adopted into His family and be with Him forever, He's not out to hurt us. He's not against us. He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not freely with Him give us all things? So again, I know it's difficult. I'm not making light. I'm simply saying, trust God. Will you trust God for His purposes? Will you trust God? Andre Crouch said, through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, he says, if I hadn't had a storm, I didn't know you could solve the problem. I didn't know you would see me through. Trust God. He's going to see you through every trial. He's going to be with you. And I want to ask you, will you think about, will you meditate, get this verse, get this truth in your heart, Romans 8:28. I'd like to ask you to say it out loud with me. We'll put it on the screen. We can all read together. Would you read with me? And we know that all things work together for good. Hold on just a second. It does not say that all things are good. It says, we know that all things work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Trust God for His purpose. Will you trust Him that when it's all said and done and you're with Him, that He will have worked out the good, bad, and the ugly for your eternal good and for His eternal glory? Can we stay? In fact, let me give you one more. I want to read this verse in the New Living Translation. It's Psalms. Let me give it. It's Psalm 57:2. Psalm 57:2. I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill His purpose for me. Thank God. Will you trust God for His purposes, not only in the world, will you trust God for His purposes in you? Can we stand together? We close in prayer.